Thank you again. My name is Lynn Broderick. I'm from ProChange Behavior Systems. And LiveWell was developed by ProChange. It was developed with SBIR funding, which is Small Business Innovative Research funding, phase one and phase two funding from NHLBI. And I have no relationships to disclose. So LiveWell is an online trans-theoretical model-based multimedia intervention designed to help college students improve their exercise, eating, and stress management habits. I'm assuming a little bit of knowledge here about TTM. If you have questions about it after the session, I'm more than happy to answer them. Kind of to go into it is beyond the scope of this presentation here, but I'm happy to answer any questions about that aspect of LiveWell after the presentation. So LiveWell consists of two main parts. The first is an intervention that's based on the model, and as students or users go through the intervention, decision rules, pre-programmed decision rules, evidence-based decision rules are operating in the background that kind of create a very unique, tailored program for each individual user. There are literally hundreds of paths that any given user can take through the program based on how they answer questions. The second part of LiveWell we call it the student homepage. It's more of an online portal, and that also consists of hundreds of TTM-based activities. It's more interactive, a little more flashy, a little more fun for the students, and they get to that after they finish their intervention session. So LiveWell's currently in phase two clinical trial. We actually completed our final 12-month follow-up data collection about 3 weeks ago, which is very exciting. Right now we're kind of in the process of pulling down the data and cleaning and hopefully we'll be analyzing by the end of the year. Phase two was conducted at two large public universities in the United States. And phase one, which was the feasibility pilot, was completed in 2006 and conducted at a private business university. So the end goal of LiveWell is an evidence-based program that can very easily and very affordably be adopted and implemented in universities across the U.S. And really our goal with LiveWell is to help students make an easy transition from high school to college to maintain those health behaviors. There's a lot of research that says students who are active and healthy in high school, once they get to college and they're on their own and can make their own decisions and no one's forcing them to eat something or work out, that all of those behaviors really dramatically drop off. So we're hoping to help make an easy and healthy transition from high school to college and also from college to adulthood, that maybe if we can teach them healthy behaviors or how to change behaviors in college, that will translate into adulthood. And LiveWell is designed to be really easily incorporated into freshman orientation or freshman experience classes that a lot of universities require of their students these days, and also personal health and fitness classes as well as health psychology classes. In designing research for dissemination, there are a few approaches you can take. One that we at ProChange really like and think fits really nicely, if you want your program to translate into practice, is the REAIM approach that was developed by Glasgow and his colleagues. And the REAIM approach very simply says that you need to consider the reach, efficacy, adoption, implementation, and maintenance of your program. So who participated in your research and how representative were they of your target population when the research is done? Obviously, what impact? Is it an effective intervention? Can it be easily adopted by your target institution? So after you've finished your research, is this something that institutions, businesses, schools, anybody can really use? Can it be delivered as you intended? You know, once it's outside of a research environment, is it going to remain to be effective? And is it sustainable over time? So Glasgow and colleagues, kind of taking this a step further, had this really great figure that I think kind of lays out why this is so important when you're designing research for dissemination. So they looked at randomized controlled trials, and those that were unlikely to translate into practice, and those that were more likely to translate into practice. And they found that those that were unlikely to translate or had a harder time translating tended to be very traditional. They had a very high emphasis on internal validity, very strict exclusion criteria. They were delivered in very sterile research environments with research staff and ended when the research was over. On the other hand, those that were likely to translate into practice had a very equal emphasis on internal and external validity. Their exclusion criteria, while strict, ensured that the target populations were being reached, that it's generalizable once the research is over. They were delivered in a practice setting, by staff in the practice setting, and were designed to be sustainable. So I'm just going to talk about how we developed LiveWell with that in mind. Before we even started phase one, which is our pilot, our feasibility pilot of LiveWell, we of course did a very extensive literature review, went through the journals, the peer review data. We also spent a lot of time going through the media and kind of the lay data. You know, all of us have been out of college for a while, as much as we don't like to admit it. but so just to find out, you know, what do we need to know about college students these days? What's different about them now from when we were in college? We also talked to 9 key informants at the universities. And of these key informants, probably the most helpful was the university food services manager. We got fantastic insight about what actually happens inside a dining hall. You know, is there fresh fruit? Are there fresh vegetables for students that they have easy access to? Can they take them? You know, can they put them in their pockets and take them with them so they have snacks throughout the day? And it was interesting that, you know, different universities, although we spoke to one, she had quite a bit of knowledge about different universities, and different universities have different policies. So it was just kind of eye-opening. We also conducted focus groups. Before we developed the intervention, we had 4 focus groups, and after the intervention was developed, we had 5 more to assess the acceptability, readability, and the design of the pilot intervention. We also had expert consultants, experts in multicultural sensitivity, exercise, stress management, and nutrition. And our pilot test consisted of about 300 students that were recruited from universities in Rhode Island. And overall, they really rated the program positively. They found it easy to use. They gave us, they said it gave good advice, it would help them get healthier, and that they'd recommend it to a friend. We also asked them for suggestions on how to make it better in phase 2. They very naturally suggested fewer questions. and more interactivity and more flashy exercises. So a little less clinical, a little more fun. We took that into... We held on Saturday, we moved into phase 2 and made quite a bit of changes to the intervention, and we added the interactive web portal at the end. Again, we held 4 focus groups to gather feedback on content and design. In addition to the focus groups, we had 8 really amazing student reviewers who were graduate students and 6 were undergraduate students. And we relied on these students probably more than they ever thought we would. You know, some of them we gave stacks of, you know, content paragraphs to review and make edits to and, you know, tell us what makes sense, what's terrible, what's cheesy, what you really like. And they were just fantastic. Some of the undergraduate students actually sent, with our permission, sent some of the feedback to friends at different universities. We actually have a few real testimonials from friends of our student reviewers, which is great and just invaluable to the program. In addition, we did usability testing. We wanted to make sure that for our target population that the program was usable, that it was useful, that it's easy to navigate and really provides a coherent user experience. And again, we had experts go through the program. We had 3 different experts. Our exercise expert was the same, but we switched up the multicultural stress management and healthy eating expert just to make sure we were still hitting what we needed to hit and that, you know, the information we were providing still made sense on campus. So I'm just going to show a few screenshots from LiveWell to show we really incorporated the end user input. If you're familiar with the trans-theoretical model, one of the main constructs is decisional balance, so weighing the pros and cons. And typically in one of our online programs, when we talk about decisional balance, we'll talk about raising your pros or what are some of the pros of the behavior. And in the focus group, we were showing some of the decisional balance feedback, and it was a focus group that was pretty even gender. There were pretty equal numbers of males and females. And both groups kind of raised their hands and said, those don't all make sense for me. Like, yeah, I know that there are pros of exercise, but they don't all make sense. So one of the things we did was we actually created gender-specific content. Males and females get extremely different programs. Well, not extremely. They get different programs. So this is an example of female decisional balance feedback. And the pros here were ones that came directly from the females in our focus groups, that exercise will make them feel more confident in their appearance, they'll be more energetic, and they'll feel better in their clothing. And here are some of the ones that came from the young men, that they'll feel more fit, they'll perform better, they'll be more competitive, and they'll increase muscle mass or bulk up. Another key component of the trans-theoretical model is confidence. And in our focus groups, in the phase 2 focus groups, we found that there they needed really specific confidence feedback, not the general, you're not feeling very confident, have you tried X, Y, and Z? And they were pretty emphatic that there are reasons when they know they will not exercise, if it's raining out, if they're tired, if their friends are going out, you know, if they have exams. So in the phase two intervention, we implemented some item-specific feedback to really target the times when they told us they weren't confident that they could either exercise, eat healthy, or manage their stress effectively. So this is just an example of the item-specific feedback from the exercise program. And, you know, it says, you know, you told us you're not confident you can exercise when the weather is bad, it can be difficult, but here are some ideas. And this is, I'm sorry that you probably can't read this, an example of a testimonial from one of the friends of our student reviewers. And it was just this really perfect story about a girl in college who struggled with her weight and kind of came to the conclusion that if she puts her fork down between bites, she would eat less and her, you know, really learned how to manage her eating and nutrition based on that. So it's just great that we have, you know, kind of real life stories interwoven. And again, kind of highlighted in green there, one of our student reviewers, when we're talking about exercise and lifestyle activity, the activity they already do during a day, she said, you know, I feel like it sounds silly, but, you know, 10 and 15 minute walks across campus and it's hilly, you know, that really adds up. I feel like I'm getting physical activity. So we thought it was great to really just point that out here for other students. And again, at the end of phase one, students told us that they really wanted more interactivity, a little more flashy exercises. So this is an example of an activity from our web portal. It's from our exercise portal. And it talks about choosing the right activity for you. You know, what are you looking to get out of exercise? And there are all these different things: adventure, assertiveness, focus, grace, stamina, strength. And they click on one, and they're given really concrete examples. So, for example, if you click on challenge, you know, why don't you try adventure racing, half marathons, Bikram yoga, marathons, triathlons, road races. You know, we're hopefully leaving them with really concrete examples of how to reach their goal. And again, kind of more interactive activity in our healthy eating portal. This is kind of our take on eat this, not that. You know, what would you order? And they're given choices from Panera Bread, and then they're given feedback. You know, although that sounds like your standard turkey sandwich, it actually has 920 calories and about 50 grams of fat, while the one on the right has about half that. And there are about 7 or 8 of these in the portal. So that's how we really worked really hard to reach our target population in LiveWell. As far as implementation, phase two is carried out at 2 large public universities, and all of the participants were recruited from the introduction to college, the freshman experience, freshman orientation classes. And the way we did this is we worked really hard. We spent a lot of time talking to the deans and the department heads at the different universities and really getting their sign on. They actually, at both universities, agreed to give class credit for students completing LiveWell, and we got their instructors to sign on. So for the trial, we randomized at the class level section, and LiveWell was given as a class assignment. We provided the instructors with pretty much everything they needed. At the very basic level, all they needed to assign LiveWell was a URL to get into the program. We gave them syllabus blurbs, we gave them handouts, we gave them information that they could post if they were using web-based class instruction. And again, students were given credit, and instructors were responsible for assigning, tracking, and grading, and they could do that. We didn't provide guidelines for that. They could do it however they wanted. And in terms of tracking, so this is what it looks like when you get to the student homepage or the web portal. And at the bottom right there is our completion certificate. And the students print this out and hand it in to the instructor. And that's pretty much all that was required for tracking for the instructors, is the student needed to print this out. And you can see first full session complete. You know, you're eligible for your first session now, or if it's not now, there will be a date. And over for the homepage activities, we specified for the trial they needed to complete 9 activities, so it would give them, you know, X out of 9 that you've completed. And in terms of the sustainability of LiveWell, it's pretty affordable. There's not a whole lot of extraneous stuff that comes along with it. It's an online program, and it's easy. It's easy to assign and maintain. We at ProChange are responsible for all of the programming and any changes to the program. The instructors very simply need to assign it. It's easy for the students to complete. It's an online-based intervention, and it's mobile-optimized. So it works great on tablets, a little less great on smartphones, but it's still highly functional. And because of all the pre-programmed evidence-based decision rules, there's extremely high treatment fidelity on each of the specific behaviors in the intervention. And we've found if you follow the behavior change research, you know, there's a lot of research in the last few years about co-action, that once someone learns how to change one behavior, they're more likely to change another. So because the interventions are trans-theoretical model-based and really take them through the process of changing behaviors, that going forward into adulthood, they'll know how to change other behaviors and they'll have this really firm background to rely on. And, you know, knock on wood, it's effective. our outcomes, again, should be available early 2013, so we have really high hopes for it. And so just to bring it back into that model of designing research for dissemination, you know, those that are likely to translate into practice, you know, the emphasis on internal and external validity, making sure that your target population is included in the research, delivered in the practice setting by staff, and is sustainable. You know, we really hope that it creates this program that's likely to translate into practice and that this is a really easy model to follow if you're developing things that you want to disseminate and you want to easily put your research into practice, that this is a great model to follow. And that's it.